It's time for Strictly Business Radio with your host, Mike Smella. Because iron sharpens iron, Strictly Business Radio brings you today's best and brightest business leaders. Learn how they succeed and thrive through every economic climate. Embrace their nuggets of wisdom, the principles and strategies used to lead and inspire others, all while enjoying abundant and fulfilled lives. And now, your host, Mike Smella.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Strictly Business Radio Show on the Business Radio Networks. I am your host, Mike Smella. And as always, we appreciate you guys making time to listen in and welcome anybody to reach out to us with questions, comments at businessradionetworks.com. You know, as business professionals, we're always looking for those little edges, another golden nugget or idea that helps us to get to our next level. And while business success is so often linked only to financial success, you know, building a truly successful company, a venture, or even a professional career ultimately empowers us to enjoy abundance and joy in many aspects of our lives. And it's great. Our guests today truly embody this spirit of success and abundance. A little while later, we're going to be talking with Doug O'Neill, co-founder of Community First Business Network, and then Sarah Torville, who's the founder and CEO of Media Frenzy Global. But first, our first guest today, real excited to talk to this gentleman, Kevin Choquette, is the founder of Fident Capital. And Kevin started Fident Capital back in 2005. Providing debt and equity financing to mid-market real estate developers and investors located in the Western U.S. Prior to Fident, Kevin was associate at La Jolla Capital Partners, which is a boutique real estate investment bank based out of Southern California, and they were financing several large San Diego development projects. Since Kevin's put together Fident Capital, they have secured over $395 million of financing for entrepreneurial operators. And in addition to that, Kevin's also been a board member for the San Diego chapter of Entrepreneurs Organization and just does a lot of peer-to-peer collaboration and a lot of great things in the community. So, Kevin, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Absolutely. Well, hey, I guess tell us a little bit about Fident and who you are. You're working primarily in the Southern California area. I guess give us a little background here.
Yeah. So boutique capital advisory, we work primarily with what we call middle market developers and commercial property investors, helping them source the capital they need to bring their projects to fruition. A lot of the industry is focused on kind of permanent debt financing and you know, just sort of a, if you will, price and proceeds kind of angle, meaning how much money can I borrow and what's it going to cost me. We tend to be more focused on entrepreneurial ventures, what we call risk projects, you know, deals where somebody's got a bit of a vision and is going to take an existing asset, move it from whatever its current condition is to a higher and better use, which tends to be a little bit harder to fund, but also a lot more lucrative kind of risk reward spectrum stuff.
So you may take, let's say, an existing multifamily home, and somebody wants to create a high rise complex out of it, or something like that. Correct?
Yep, exactly. We've done one of those here in San Diego, where it was actually a warehouse, and it ended up being 85 condos.
So where do you get involved? How do you, you know, do developers come to you? Are you out looking for them? Is it kind of a mix? Walk us through that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a mix for sure. Lately, there's been more coming in the door, which is certainly a welcome change. But, you know, our role is really just to be an advocate for their project. So, you know, what's the project specifics and its return profile? What market does it lie in? And does that, you know, project match the market? And what's their experience as a sponsor? And then just kind of get out to the capital markets and see who might support the investment thesis and actually partner up with them.
Now, from that side, Kevin, are most of your funding sources private equity firms? Are they life insurance companies? What do you see from that side?
You know, through the years, kind of my mandate is to continue to expand the Rolodex, if you will. I know we don't have those things anymore of investors.
Well, some of us still do, the old guys. But
right. Well, I haven't had one for a long time. But the database now, you know, it's primarily what I would say are mid-sized private equity funds or allocator funds. They've already aggregated, you know, 100, 200, 400, $500 million of equity capital to put into projects and have a bit of a mandate to find, you know, the best risk-adjusted return for their dollars. So in some sense, we are independent distributors for them, although there's certainly no contractual relationship between us and the myriad of capital sources that we'll go to on a specific project.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, do you then help
to answer your question?
You help take the project from, you know, hey, Kevin, I've got this great idea. I see this warehouse and I'd like to turn it into, 700 condos. Where do we start? You know, do you walk them through the whole thing, or where's your real strong suit from that side?
Yeah, good question. That is largely dependent upon the strength of our client. Sometimes clients come to us with a pretty comprehensive idea of, you know, project costs and timeline and the team that they're going to work with, and can demonstrate that they've done, you know, project X, Y, and Z that are just like the current one, which makes our job candidly a lot easier. In that case, we're kind of just repackaging and trying to become expert in the deal so we can be an effective advocate for them. But alternatively, we'll get people who have a less well-conceived notion of how the project works economically, what the constraints are, what sort of hurdles the capital markets are going to want to understand, or the hurdles that need to be cleared in order for a funding to take place. So we'll jump in a lot earlier and probably end up doing, in some cases, more work than we should, just because it's, you know, as far as the discipline of running this business, sometimes we're better served just working with that first type of client than the second. But
sure,
we do jump in at those various points early and when it's fully kind of baked, if you will.
Yeah, well, I would have to think, you know what you want the final project as far as taking a whole concept and putting it into a big book of papers. You know what the underwriter is going to be wanting to see. And, you know, I'm assuming you got to be able to make it look the way that it's going to ultimately be funded, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And the fun part is that every deal is unique, so we're never feeling like, you know, we're just kind of making sausage, right? I mean, there is a process that we run, but each deal has its unique challenges and positives and negatives. So it's fun to begin to understand them and navigate them and stitch them into an effective pitch that can get capital motivated to take a good hard look at it.
Are you seeing funding sources become more, I don't even want to say flexible. I mean, obviously 2008 and 2009 put a crimp in everything. But how are you seeing the ability for them to actually come to the table with good financing options, or are you seeing things loosening up at all, or what? What are you seeing from that side?
Yeah, there's kind of two distinct markets: the debt markets and the equity markets. Both are dramatically improved from the downturn. The equity markets in particular, I think, are very much a seller's market, right? For those people who have projects and are selling the investment opportunity, there's a lot of buyers. There's a lot of equity that wants to be doing deals. I would say that, thankfully, those buyers are, for the most part, still rational. I don't feel like underwriting is getting stretched to the point of, you know, ludicrous. I have to say that in 2004 and 2005, almost every deal that I personally saw get funded is a deal that I wouldn't have done with my own money. Condition doesn't exist.
Understood.
Today, and that's a good thing. You know, I think there's a lot of discipline, and people really did get their knuckles wrapped pretty hard in the downturn. So I'm seeing a lot of money, a lot of activity, a lot of good transactions, but I think underwriting is pretty sound and good deals are definitely getting done.
Now, is your focus mainly Southern California, or where else do you work?
We would say growth markets of the West. You know, the vast majority of our business is definitely in and around Southern California. But for example, we've got a deal we're working on in Boulder, Colorado right now. So, you know, sort of primary Western states markets, I guess I would say they're secondary markets, but you know, still have a major league sports team, Denver, Phoenix, Seattle, Portland. We don't do a whole lot in and around LA and San Francisco just because they're very well traveled by those capital advisors that live in those cities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense. But so you do, you've got a fairly wide scope for them from that side. As far as your team, you know, you've put a good solid core team together. Who are you looking for as far as potential clients? What's your need at this point in time?
You know, to be totally honest, I mean, I know this is a sort of entrepreneurial thing. At the moment, my needs are more on the team building side than the client side. I could use more kind of producers, guys that can go out and make it rain and bring in other development client opportunities, but also shepherd them through the process. We actually find ourselves awash in good opportunities, which is great, but I only have so many hours in a day and the rest of the team only has so much time. And then eventually we just have to turn good business away, which is unfortunate. But on the client side, you know, what we're looking for is, you know, qualified operators, guys that have some track record and ideally a meaningful, although not always overwhelming, net worth and liquidity that can kind of serve to do the proverbial put your money where your mouth is, which still seems to be an outsized portion of underwriting for the real estate world. It's funny, in the tech space, you can have an idea and put $0 into it and recruit hundreds of millions of capital to support that idea. In real estate, we still somehow are constrained by co-investment.
Kevin, how can people get in touch with you?
Email's fine. There's just kevin@fidentcapital.com. The website's, you know, just www.fidentcapital.com, or I think there's some phone numbers on there they can call through as well.
Great. Kevin, I appreciate you being on the show today. We will follow up with you in the future, my friend. Enjoy, and thanks for being on our show.
Mike, thank you very much, and have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.